Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, Reese, what are we talking about today?
So for the very first episode of Canada is Boring.
Whoever's editing this, can we please have a drum roll?
That's me. I will. For the very first episode, we are going to talk about Canada's greatest daredevil. So have you seen Toy Story 4?
I have, yes.
Do you remember the Canadian?
I do remember.
The Canadian Daredevil voiced by Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, I do actually, yeah.
So he was obviously a copy of Evel Knievel.
Right.
They were like, hey, let's just do a Canadian version of Evel Knievel. But Canada did have its own Evel Knievel, a man named Ken Carter.
Do we have new music?
Yeah.
I haven't heard it.
Show.
Can you play it for me so that I can actually hear it? I know it'll go
into
the edit.
You're going to have to listen to the episode.
I'm going to literally have to wait for you to edit the show for me to listen to the new intro.
No, I'll send it to you. I can give you some false sense of input.
So I can just pretend that I've heard it and react that way?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Super bland, cold and much too polite. The place that's excitement, kryptonite. You may fall asleep with no warning. Because Canada is boring, boring.
Cause Canada is boring,
boring.
Canada is boring,
so boring.
Canada is so fucking boring,
boring.
A real cool podcast
with Reese and Jesse.
Oh, neat intro there, Reesey boy.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. Mm.
What was your favorite bit for the new Canada is Boring intro?
I think it was the sound of like genitals slapping together.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
That was intentional. So Jess is going to love this. He loves the sound of cheeks slapping in the wind. So anyway,
I'm back.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
First ever episode of Canada is Boring after we transitioned into a slightly new but very similar show. Number two, our Apple Premium subscription is nearly ready and might be ready as this episode's releasing.
Right. Reese has got a lot of work on his plate this week and he is working on it. So if by the time of the drop of this episode is released and you're on Apple Podcasts, and you'd like to subscribe for more content, it's so fucking easy. You just click a button and you're done. Unlike Patreon, we have to sign up. Patreon does have an extra thing where you get to talk with us, which is really, you know, if you like us, we'll chat, special friend chat. We'll send special nudes and I mean things like that. But like if you just want extra content, you don't have to deal with shit. It's just a simple click. One click, you're done. And we're unveiling it, maybe.
Hopefully it'll be fine.
Just check and see if it's up.
I mean, I've been working with the Apple team, Apple Canada team, and they're awesome. And they've been really helpful trying to get it going and very encouraging us to set up on their platform. Number three, we are returning to a free episode every week.
Every week, baby.
But patrons will still get two episodes a month that are behind the paywall. So there's six episodes
a month. We're going to have to stop calling them patrons because now we have Apple Podcasts as Apple Podcast subscribers.
Just call them special friends.
Special friends,
special
baby.
Friends who buy our love.
Yeah.
we'll get two extra episodes a month. Everyone's going to get an episode a week again.
It's the only way we can get love.
We did an experiment, one off. It wasn't a failure, but it wasn't a
success.
It wasn't a success either. It was kind of like
jumping onto Patreon, a whole bunch of people, and that was it. And we had like a percentage and no more.
It was not a failure, not a success. It was Saskatchewan.
Oh, Reese. Oh, that's horrible.
What? It's fine.
I think that's their motto.
Everything's fine.
No, just it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's not a terrible
Saskatchewan.
Place to live.
It's
but it's also not a wonderful place to live. If you love potash and potash mining, it's the place to be. The epicenter of the potash industry. I've been in a potash mine.
What is potash?
It's like minerals into the ground. It's like salty minerals, and they use it for fertilizer to help grow food.
Okay, so that's exciting.
And then number four, Jesse's back.
I'm back, baby, in the flesh.
No more recording on his phone while we.
I was actually kind of impressed with your job on my voice quality in the previous episode. I thought it was going to sound way worse than it did, but it did
sound terrible, and it did take a lot of work. You are welcome.
It sounded pretty good, I gotta say. Like for recording on my phone by a river in
Dublin.
Rome.
No, Rome. You were in Rome.
I was
still.
In Rome, yeah.
Yeah. Should we just get on with this content? No. What else are we going to do before we get on with the
STD zone. By the way, if you're new to the show.
I think the STD zone was us naming the four things that make the show different.
Well, I mean, I'm back. I want to talk a little bit about being back.
Okay, fine.
The STD zone, if you're new here, folks.
Give me your best STD.
Oh, by the way, we're so excited. There's so much going on.
This is the most ADHD episode.
This is an incredibly ADHD episode. I'd like to apologize to you.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're new to the show is this. I'm Jesse.
Let's not explain the show. Should we just do the show?
No, I think we should explain the show.
Okay.
For anyone who's new, because they've just been listening to us rant for 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
There's a description.
I know, but who reads these days, please? That's why they're listening.
Okay.
For 4 years now, the show was Canadian Politics is Boring, where Reese, who is a Welsh immigrant, comes onto the show and teaches me, Jesse, an apathetic Canadian, which is true, about my own country's political system. And then after 4 years, he ran out of stories.
I didn't run out of stories. I want to diversify and reach a broader audience.
And he's sticking to that story, folks.
I've got some really good political stories that we will still do.
Okay, fine. That's fine.
It's just my pleasure when we do them.
So now he's just expanded to talk about all things crazy Canadian instead of just all things crazy political Canadian. And that's it. That's the show is Reese, a Welsh immigrant, teaches me a Canadian about my own country's history in crazy stories, crazy story format. And
yeah.
It's been working well so far.
And now we're looking forward to talking about why lots of people say Canada is so boring. It's flat in the middle, bumpy on the side. Foggy on the other end. Like, there's nothing going on here. It's bland, it's boring. And I refute that fact. I believe that it is.
You've come up with some insane stories, honestly.
It is as equal a dumpster fire as you will find anywhere else in the world. But I love it. It's a particular kind of dumpster fire and one I love living in. And I'm excited to share these stories with you and strangers listen.
I want to talk really quickly about my weekend before we get on.
Time for a quick STD zone.
STD zone is the small talk dimension zone.
So Jesse, I'll forego my STD. You just give me yours.
All right. I don't know if it works that way.
tell us about your international travel. I mean, we've been following it, but what was the last leg? Sounds hellish.
I was in Dublin. Dublin was amazing. It was I loved it. It was probably my favorite place on the entire trip.
I spent an entire year's student loan on one weekend in Dublin when I was like 19.
It's so expensive. It's an incredibly expensive city.
And that was 20 years ago.
Yeah. It's a really, really expensive place to live. But like, man, it was, the people were so, like, the people loved being there. And I just found these, it was very touristy. But if you ask the right people and you find these places, there are just the right pubs where they play traditional Irish music, right?
Yeah.
With, and like, and in one pub, Cobblestone, and this happens again, depending on the pub, something, you know, in other places in Ireland, but it like, it's not like unique to this pub. They're playing with drums and flutes and accordions and fiddles, and it's just amazing. And the bar is packed and everybody's drinking Guinness to the point where if a bartender looks at you and you can't, it's so loud. I just like looked at them and they nodded like, well, what do you want? And I just held up one finger, like just one. And they knew that meant one Guinness, right? Just...
I'd like a nice red, a nice bottle of red. Oh, another, thanks for the Guinness. I guess I'm drinking Guinness.
Yeah. It was really good, honestly. Slow drunk, very, very slow. Like it crept up on you. Not like slow as in you stand up and boom, you're drunk. Not like that at all. As in just like, it was just a very gradual, like through for hours.
Yeah.
Hours after you stopped drinking too, it just kept going. Like, it was very lovely. Once, twice, maybe three times during the evening, the whole bar is shushed. Shushed. Isn't like everyone joins in shushing everyone else in the bar. Just shh,
yeah.
And everyone, I mean everyone, shuts the fuck up. You could hear a pin drop. And then one man or woman, it was two men when I was there, sings in a corner of a bar and everyone listens. Now, if it's a long song and the bar is filled with really, it's late and the people are kind of drunk, 5 minutes in, chatter starts happening again in the back, you know, half of the bar, and then it gets, grows a little louder. And then all it takes is just another like, shh, silence. Nobody debates this. Nobody fights this. They're just like, oh shit. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they listen to the rest of the song. This man is just singing his heart out in a traditional Irish song. And it's truly beautiful. Honestly, it's like, oh God, Dublin's. Yeah. Anyway. So I really love Dublin. And then I flew back from Dublin to Toronto, to Halifax, because they don't do direct fucking flights for some reason. And in the middle of the flight, in the middle of the Atlantic, I bit into a cookie and my front tooth snapped off. I'm like, fuck.
Is it supposed to?
No.
Like, have you had it repaired before?
Oh, yeah, I've had it repaired, but it's not supposed to come off.
No, but I mean, it's not like an injury. It wasn't a new injury. It was an injury, yeah.
No, it's a crack. It was
all of my teeth are detachable. It's how I wash them at night. I put them in the dishwasher. I'm good to go, fresh for another day. Anyway,
yesterday was hell. Just driving all over the place, getting shots, getting teeth fixed. And then, not yesterday, so that was the day before. And then yesterday, my tooth that was fixed fell out while I was getting my haircut. In the middle of getting a haircut, just fell out. And I had to go get emergency dental surgery again. And I don't know if it's called surgery, but like... And then a whole bunch of work problems. It's just been hell. I'm tired and I'm drinking coffee that was made at 8 a.m. right now. But I'm glad to be back.
Great. It's wonderful. Let's use this wonderful energy and enthusiasm to attract new listeners and enjoy.
How long has it been? 20 minutes of not talking about the show?
Yeah.
Or just me talking?
I'm going to talk about Ken Carter now.
Okay. You're going to cut this down to like 30 seconds, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to speed it up.
Jesse, where? Yeah,
exactly. So Ken Carter, I know you're slightly much older than me, but there was a time when daredevils were massive and they would drive cars and motorbikes and jump buses and they would tour towns and cities and you could buy tickets to see it in person, or they would like put it live on TV where Evel Knievel would jump over like 17 buses while his ass was on fire, this kind of thing. And now daredevils are, I don't know, TikTokers hanging from cranes by one hand.
I
dying.
Hate it so much. I genuinely hate those fucks.
Or parkour.
This is how far people will go for a fucking like and a subscription. They will dangle actual death. All it takes is like a little muscle twitch or some sweat. And there's a dead teen. Like, I hate those. They're not impressive. They're not like, ooh, I want to share them.
It is impressive, but.
It's impressive how stupid they are.
Yes. But also But Daredevils used to be like,
let me get this straight. That's not being a daredevil. Okay.
No. But
like hanging from one hand.
You don't get daredevils like you used to. I guess.
The daredevilness there is his or her. I've seen both where they're just dangling from one fucking hand, like on top of a skyscraper that's being built. Right.
Yes.
And like they're not jumping through a hoop of fire. The daredevilness is, look how much I don't care about my own life.
No.
That's right. Because it's not a skill.
No.
There's no active skill there. It's an active mental
grip strength.
Right. Yeah. If you have if you're a rock climber, that's not hard for you. And there's all kinds of rock climbers everywhere. You can hang off with a little bit of training. You can hang on your entire body. Just hang by your fingers. It's not an impressive feat. It's not for us to go, oh, wow, look at them doing that thing. It's they're doing it to make us uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's
the point. I hate it.
But Daredevils used to do it as it was showmanship. So you go to an arena or a stadium, you'd buy tickets, they'd have music and everything going on. And then they would be they would have got a car from a scrapyard, done it up, put a ridiculous engine or maybe some rockets on it. Or a motorbike with rockets on it, and they would then jump a ramp, and they go, "Hey, I don't know if this is going to work. We worked it out we had a post-it note. We did the weight and the speed and how far we got to jump, and then you'd literally just see will they make it, and that was what Daredevil used to do. And Evel Knievel is the most iconic one, but Canada's Daredevil Ken Carter was so crazy that Evel Knievel, was like, I wouldn't do this.
Oh my God.
Knievel walked away from one of his stunts because he thought it was too crazy.
Okay.
So I wanted...
Hold on, say that again. Evel Knievel did what?
Evel Knievel actually went to visit one of Ken Carter's stunts and was like, this is crazy. It's too crazy for me. I'm going. He didn't want to be anything. Didn't want to have anything to do with it. Kenneth Gordon Pulsejack was born into poverty in a Montreal slum in 1938.
I wonder what a Montreal slum looks like. I've been to Montreal. I haven't seen the slums.
I don't think they're there anymore. The slums are now cost $3,000 a month to rent.
Yeah.
So
Montreal is one of the last places in Canada, and this is not
to have
confirmed.
Slums?
This is not confirmed. This is my own personal observation that does not have skyrocketing
give it time
rents. Yeah, I know, right? Like this is you want a place in Montreal, get it now.
Now you've said that it will.
Exactly.
Now they found out.
Yeah, cut that out.
Yeah. So he had very little education. He dropped out of school, but he loved the touring teams of daredevils that would go across North America. You know, you'd pay probably at the time $1, and you go in and you watch motorbikes and monster trucks.
What year was this, by the way?
So this would have been, if he was born in 1938, so this would have been the 50s.
Okay.
Probably roughly around the 50s.
All right.
So he essentially was, he ran away and just started traveling around with these teams of daredevils as a kid.
Like they invited him to join?
Well, I don't know. They were like, hey, he's the amazing kid. Look at him. He's not old enough to drive, but he's going to go over a ramp kind of thing. I imagine.
Kind of like I was invited to join the circus, but I was too old instead of he was invited.
Exactly. So he kind of he grew up.
I got rabies. That's what stopped me.
Exactly. So his adolescence was all about kind of lit life on the road, fixing cars up to make them stunt worthy.
Doing stunts,
fixing them again.
That's really cool.
So he was immersed in this culture that doesn't really exist anymore.
I'm curious about that, why that is.
People have the internet now.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, I took my Monster Jam. I took my kids, my son, the other's too young, to Monster Jam. Have you seen that? Monster trucks, they crush things and race each other.
Never found that entertaining.
One monster truck was a school bus and it was called Higher Education. And I thought it was funny.
I don't know. I'm just not interested in watching cars smash into other cars.
I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Banger Racing. Have you seen that?
What is it?
They do it in the UK. You buy a car that barely runs and then you race around a track, but you're allowed to smash into each other.
Okay. That actually sounds kind of like adult go-karts.
Yeah. But your car is falling apart as you're driving it and you're trying to make other people's cars fall apart. It's a bit like Mad Max.
So wouldn't that be extremely dangerous?
You take the glass out the windows and everything.
Yeah, but you're still getting hit by cars constantly.
Yes.
Going full speed.
Yes. I don't think I think you have to take the airbags out and stuff as well, because obviously you hit someone, the airbag goes off.
Do people break their bones?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's why else? You can't the world today, everyone's afraid of risk, but daredevils like this, they thrive in that risk.
Okay.
They love the adrenaline.
So that's a daredevil. That's a today's version of a daredevil.
Yeah. So he told...
I'd watch that.
He eventually became...
I'd watch stupid people break their own bones. Yeah, sure.
So it eventually became a solo act, touring North America, and he was known as the Mad Canadian.
Okay.
Which is a good name. Yeah, he changed his last name to Carter because North American audiences would find it easier to pronounce.
What was his name again?
Pulse Jack. P-O-L-S. J-E-K.
What country is that from?
I think it's Polish, I think.
Okay.
I think it's Eastern European. Anyway, so because he became the Mad Canadian, and what they would do is they would go to a new town where the show was, go to a junkyard, find a car, and then he would like drive that car off a ramp and smash it up or do a stunt at it.
Okay.
We'll just keep wrecking cars as he kind of toured around.
Right.
There is an amazing documentary.
And he got paid to do this. Like, this is...
Yeah, yeah, that was his job. That was his job. Life on the road.
That sounds fun, honestly. Like...
Well, but the other thing as well is like...
I'm changing my tune on this whole stuff.
Exactly.
This whole car thing. So, smashing up cars.
But there's an amazing NFB documentary called Devil at Your Heels that was... It's a documentary. That
nice shout out to the NFB for those who don't know.
You could watch it for someone's put it on YouTube.
Do you know what explain what the NFB is to our listeners if they don't know?
No.
Do you know what the NFB stands for, Reese?
No fucking bats. National Film Board.
No, you had it right the first time.
Yeah.
It's no fucking bats. The National Film Board of Canada.
Yeah. Right? So that
what do they do?
Make films.
There you go. They fund films. It's more like heritage based. It's more very Canadian.
Yeah. Sort of. Well, this is if you like that era, this is,
and they're free to watch.
They are. Yeah. It's on YouTube.
I think they have their own website as well. But like, sure, probably.
I don't care.
We're Canadian. We're trying to promote. Okay. Anyway,
search The Devil at Your Heels, and is a feature length documentary that followed him as he's preparing for his biggest, most epic stunt.
Okay.
And it's him. You see him turning up at a town, going to a scrapyard, finding cars that have been like rotted through that he can use, and then testing, doing them up ready for the show.
I think we're gonna watch this.
You should. It's on YouTube.
What's it called again?
The Devil at Your Heels.
The Devil at Your Heels.
So, like, for instance, he finds a 1964 Chevy, and then he goes airborne off a ramp over a line of old cars, but he lands on top of the cars. He doesn't quite clear them.
Oh no.
He sprains his ankle, and then like they have to cut him out of the car, but he insists on like, give me the microphone. And then he's like, I'll be back here tomorrow to do it again, kind of thing. He's like a showman. So he's like, it's that whole thing of I'm okay. Yes, they cut me out and I can't walk and I'm on a stretcher, but I promise I'll be back and I'll do it properly.
Has he actually like broken bones and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, they always break bones.
They always break bones. Always.
All those daredevils break bones.
No. I thought you meant he always breaks bones every single time.
Imagine if your job is to be in a car crash every day.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Okay, fair. Yeah,
your bones will not like you.
Exactly. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so hold on. I just kind of like. Do you know how much money he made?
Not a huge amount.
But do you know how much? Or are you guessing?
No. I mean, Evil Knievel made a lot of money, but he was like known around the world.
Right.
Ken was like
The Canadian version, which is
Ken was the devil at his heels. He was nipping at his heels, kind of thing. So, and that's interesting because. Evil Knievel did his stunts on motorbikes.
Right.
And Ken did his in cars because he wanted to differentiate himself.
Just picture, like, you're working at a desk job, okay, for 20 years. You hate your life. There are people like this. You know, I was one of them. I'm working in Calgary, working at a desk job. every day, 9 to 5. It was the most mind-numbing. Now, the company was really, really nice. I don't want to throw them under the bus. They were a really nice company. But the job was mind-numbing.
You don't seem like the kind of person who's suited to an office.
I'm really, really not. No. Not at all, no.
The HR department would hate you.
Oh, buddy. I did such a poor job, okay, at my job. Not poor job. No, I did
such a poor job at my job.
Sorry, let me rephrase. I did the job fine. I was the job, like, as far as output.
It was the hassle
quality,
that came with you doing it.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yes, it is. Okay, yeah, like, I just was a shitty employee. The work got done great, and it was fine, right? And if you looked at the output and the quality, I was doing a bang-up job. But as an employee, I was shit, right? I was on dating sites all the time. I was listening to movies and audiobooks. I was taking so many smoke breaks. It was crazy. And my boss, who was great, right? He had to take me, had to take me aside and tell me that I was doing a shitty job as an employee. Now, the thing, he was really upset at having to do that, like, because him and I were kind of friends, and he felt so bad for having to take me aside and admonish me. Like, is that the right word? Like, tell me that I'm being a bad employee and that I have to, like, step up. And he was like, practically, he wasn't crying, but he was like, he was genuinely upset. And I had to like, first and foremost, like, agree with everything he's saying. Like, no, you're right. I am bad at this. Right? Like, I'm not going to argue with you. And then I had to console my boss.
Sorry that you have to tell me I'm shit at my job. That, and I know.
Yes, that is exactly what happened. I literally had to console him and be like, it's okay. I wouldn't want to be you in your position either. I get it. Yes, I'm a shitty employee. And sorry for having to put you through this. Like, right? Like, because he was a really nice guy and he just didn't want to do it with me, right? Because outside of work, we're like buds.
So funny. But anyway, so you're the perfect candidate to leave a desk job to be a stuntman.
Exactly. So that was my point. It's like a long-winded way of, like, if someone had come to me during that three-year moment time and be like, hey, listen, we're going to offer you something where, like, you're going to fucking love your job. You can't wait to bound out of bed and run to your job every single day. But 5 times a year, you're going to break a bone.
I think it's probably more than 5 times a year.
You think, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So what happened?
Would you take that deal, though? No, you're not.
I think.
You know the mentality I'm going
with. I do know the mentality. Yeah, yeah.
Would you, if you were in that position?
I think that. It depends. If it was, like, always my dream to do that, then without a doubt I would do it.
Well, duh. But then
I don't know. Would I quit a secure government job behind a desk?
Have you ever had one?
A secure job?
A secure government boring 9-to-5.
I graduated from film school. I worked at the BBC for a year and I always wanted to work there. Mm. And it was a stuffy British institution and I left within a year and I've never worked for anyone apart from the 10 months when I arrived in Canada and I needed job security, but I only lasted 10 months.
Was that only 10 months? I thought it was long.
I only lasted 10 months.
We both know who we're talking about. So, we won't mention it.
We won't mention He who shall not be named. Anyway.
I remember just briefly, just with that company.
That's how we met. We met working at that place.
When I was working there and I was just so depressed working there. And Reese comes in, he's all bush, like, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and he wants to meet everybody. And he wants, as soon as he comes in to the door and introduces himself, I knew right away, okay, we're going to be friends. I could tell immediately, right? And then he wanted to take everyone to lunch individually and get to know them. I'm like, that's really sweet. And he took me to lunch and we just had some pizza. And I swear to God, Reese, I did everything in my power to not badmouth the company. You just flew your entire family across the Atlantic to join.
I didn't fly. That was the thing. They thought that I'd flown across the Atlantic to work for them, but I hadn't. I'd flown across the Atlantic to build a new life in Canada.
Oh, okay.
That's, they just so happened to be my first job. Anyway, let's talk about
Canada. I'm sorry, dear listener. I'm back home in Halifax, and, like, being in person with Reese is exciting because I get to chat about like stuff, and it's different than over
the energy is different.
The energy is different, and I just want to chat with my buddy.
So Evel Knievel in 1975 jumped 14 Greyhound buses successfully on a motorbike.
Who did?
Evel Knievel.
Holy fuck!
14 Greyhound buses.
And not individually, like in one go.
Yeah, he didn't, like, 14, like, driving around a ramp doing 14 jumps. Everyone's like, I'm by by jump 10, they're like, oh, should we go
home? Fine, yeah.
Yeah, should we go to a hot dog? Like, so, so Ken was like, I need to do something more epic than this. And his plan was to build a jet-powered Lincoln Continental.
Oh, my God.
And to jump, make it jump a mile over the St. Lawrence River.
Please, for the love of God, tell me you have this on video.
There is an attempt on video, yeah, in that
film.
Do
you have it?
It's in that film. You've got to watch the, go watch the film.
All right. He's going to jump the what, sorry?
St. Lawrence River. So he was going to jump from Canada and land on Ogden Island in New York.
Okay, I was going to say, that river is a different length, widths.
The width he was going to do, it would be a mile-long jump in a rocket-powered Lincoln Continental, which is an interesting choice because that's a fucking heavy car.
I would be...
It was also over an active shipping lane.
So, okay, first off, my thoughts on this. I'm not sure that this is physically possible. It doesn't matter how much you want to do it, right? Like... you know what I mean? Like, I would be wanting to get some tests done first rather than just.
Well, yeah, they didn't just do it.
He sounds like a kind of guy that would just do it.
No,
he sounds like that kind of person.
They plan for it and use math in a way that someone who left school early would to do it. So they do try things out and plan it.
Okay, good.
They don't just do it.
Okay.
They're doing it with like,
right,
with the gifts that they were given in life, which wasn't necessarily a full education and like a degree in physics, okay, if you know what I mean. So ABC's Wide World of Sports gave him $250,000 to go ahead with the jump. And the plan was for them to broadcast it live on TV in September 1976. They were like, Ken, this is brilliant. You're going to outdo Evel Knievel. We won the TV rights.
Amazing.
Here's $250,000. Now go build a ramp.
I totally forgot.
Oh, hey, there we are. So the rocket car was built by a guy named Dick Keller. I don't care. The rocket car was built by a guy. So this guy called Dick Keller had built a car called the Blue Flame that had gone 633 miles an hour on the Bonneville Salt Flats. So Ken hired him to build his rocket-powered Lincoln Continental.
Amazing.
So it was a chassis built around two rocket engines that gave a total of 11,000 pounds of thrust. And then they built a fiberglass body for the Lincoln Continental and put it on top. And it even had little wings on the side.
Wings?
Little tiny stubby wings.
My immediate thought is not how is this car going to launch itself a mile over the river. My immediate thought is, how is it going to land?
Well, you got to watch the documentary. Exactly. But there was no plan for the landing. He was going to just launch himself off the ramp. But there was a parachute built into the trunk. So the idea was he was going to launch himself, and as he was getting over the river, hopefully like do the parachute and he'd come down.
And then he would just dangle
down,
face down, and land that way. Yeah,
and hopefully steer himself down. Like, so, but what happened was Evel Knievel came up to look at the stunt and said, you see this in the documentary. He says, "I don't think I'd attempt this stunt. This may be a Daredevil stunt that might end all Daredevil stunt." And Evel Knievel kind of then, whether it was out of rivalry or fear that it was too stupid, a stunt and was just too deadly, he basically said that it was too dangerous and there was lack of safety and it was prepared too quickly. So ABC pulled the plug on it.
Because of what Evel Knievel said, even though he wasn't even part of it.
Yeah, he was like, hey, I'm Evel Knievel and this is dangerous. And the ABC were like, oh, we're not going to pay $250,000 to watch a man die. We want him to make it to the other side. We want everyone to be enthralled, but we don't want anyone to die. So they pulled the plug on it.
Wow.
There were issues with the ramp. There were issues with the car. He needed to raise the money himself, so he kept doing more smaller jumps to fundraise. But the kind of years dragged on, and he couldn't get the jump to happen because he didn't have enough money. And he delayed and he delayed and he delayed. And this lasted like 3 years where he was going, I'm going to do the jump. Give me money. I'm going to do the jump.
This is where Patreon would have really helped out.
And then in 1979, within 5 seconds of making the jump, finally, the car failed. So it was kind of all done.
What did it say? What month?
It was the fall.
Okay.
I don't know why the month matters. Why do you want to know the month?
I was
he jumping on my birthday?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know.
So,
That's exactly it.
So Hollywood wasn't interested. He's still talking about that jump. And like the crowd started.
So he tried and the car failed.
The car failed.
After the jump or just before? What did you say?
Just 5 seconds before he was going to do the jump, it failed. So he was kind of like, it's not going to happen. And then eventually what happened was a weird thing happened where people thought that Carter had lost interest. And they tried it again, but for some reason they substituted him with another driver called Kenny Powers. And I don't know. Oh. Apparently, like they say, Carter had lost his nerve at this point, but I don't think that was true. So they swapped him out with this other guy called Kenny Powers, and they didn't tell him somebody else was going to do his jump.
Oh, what?
Which is kind of shitty.
Who was doing this?
So the people organizing the event with him at the last minute.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to do another attempt. They sent Kenny up, and they didn't tell him someone else was going to do his jump.
Wow.
But Kenny Powers had no experience of this kind of stunt.
Oh, my God.
And had never driven a rocket-powered car before.
I don't think anyone has.
Ken Carter had, apparently.
I mean, like for 5 seconds.
Exactly. Yeah. So the ramp was so poorly constructed, it was bumpy.
Oh, wow.
And it shook the car to pieces as it began to take off. Literally, you watch the video, it goes up the ramp, the parachute immediately deploys, and then it kind of, the car gets like shredded and then falls in the water.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And okay. Kenny Powers survived, but he broke 8 vertebrae.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay.
So it was kind of the end of his dream of being a global superstar like Evel Knievel, which is kind of sad.
Hold on. You said Ken Carter survived.
Ken Carter didn't do it. Kenny Powers did it.
That's right. Okay, sorry. Kenny Powers broke 8 vertebrae.
So Ken
didn't actually, he never
got to do the jump. Kenny Powers.
This is a really disappointing end of the story.
I know. So he carried on, and in the 80s, he was just still touring, doing smaller jumps. He was still a daredevil. Bearing in mind, in the 80s, he was like, what would it be? He would have been like pushing, he was mid-40s, late 50s, still doing jumps. You don't heal as fast.
You don't heal as fast, but still, that's not that old, honestly.
No, I'm like, yeah.
I mean, I guess it was back then.
Yeah, exactly.
Nutrition wasn't a huge deal back then, yeah.
And then in 1983, he tried to jump a 1982 Pontiac Firebird over a pond in Peterborough, Ontario. He lost traction on the run-up and put the car in the water. So he tried it again. With a homemade rocket fitted, but somehow he worked out the weight and the speed and the fuel he needed wrong, and the car flew too high and too fast. The rocket was too powerful for the jump he was doing.
Oh, wow.
He overshot the landing ramp, and the car flipped over, and he landed on his roof, and he died instantly.
No! Oh, my God!
So the car overshot the ramp by 100 foot. He was attempted to break his own world record. He was pronounced dead with massive head, chest, and internal injuries while 2,500 people watched.
Holy shit.
So they tried to get him out of the car, but he jumped. He was planning to go 200 foot, but he went 295 feet in the rocket-powered.
This is a really sad story, man.
I know, but it's crazy.
It's fucking insane. Holy shit.
So he was supposed to... He was supposed to reach a speed of 72 miles an hour, and the rocket motor was supposed to shut off, but instead it kind of accelerated after he went off, which totally, like, yeah.
Oh, man.
The police impounded it.
This is a crazy story. It's a little sad.
And you know. he was trying to break his own record, but he was short of it. Yeah. So that's the story, and it's kind of sad, but
it's
amazing,
very sad.
But also amazing at the same time.
Dear listeners, sorry for the length of this episode. Our episodes are not normally this long. It's just I'm excited to be
Jesse's
back.
Excited to be
I'm
home.
I'm excited to be home.
He wants to talk about how he used to work in Calgary 20 years ago.
Normally our episodes are, take a look at our past episodes. They're not this long.
Did you like the episode?
I did like the episode. It's a little sad. There's a couple things that I want to do now since we're in it to win at this point.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. One, I was going to ask you to do an improvised Heritage Minute where we dug up his corpse, put it in
kind of bad taste,
the rocket car, and then did the jump he always wanted to do. But that now that I found out how he died, I was like, okay, that's a little sad.
I'd rather not do that.
Yeah. Instead, I'd like to do an improvised Heritage Minute where you talk about the man who, I forget his name, the man who took over his job.
Kenny Powers.
Yeah, and then flew the unsuccessful flight and broke a bunch of bones but survived.
Right. Like,
yeah, and just improvise that. And then after that, we'll do some admin and you'll quiz me and we'll go.
What am I doing with Kenny Powers?
An improvised heritage minute about that moment, about that jump.
Oh, when he did the, okay.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Kenny Powers.
No, you know how you do it. You set the tone, you get music, okay. You get some sound effects, and then you kind of narrate it as a third party.
Okay.
Right?
So, a soft breeze blew over the shores of the St. Lawrence River. The river marks a beautiful boundary between America and Canada, where one man was about to steal somebody else's thunder and bridge that distance in a rocket-powered Lincoln Continental. Kenny came out of his tent, which is where it was kind of like a VIP area for stuntmen, and stunt women, but it was the 70s and there weren't any stunt women allowed, probably. He smoothed his mustache over his top lip. That's what he did before. It was his little routine before he did his stunts. Yes, he'd never driven a rocket-powered car before. Yes, he was inexperienced. And yes, he was going behind Ken Carter's back to do this. But he didn't give a fuck. He was going to get paid, and he was going to go down in history as the man who did one art over on Evel Knievel. He got strapped in the car. He French kissed the mechanic against his will. Could have been the last kiss he ever had, so he didn't care. And he started to press all the different buttons to warm up the rocket. He looked up the bumpy, rickety ramp that had been made by the leftover wood that you see at the lumber yard that is too bent for anyone to use, practically for decking or any other purposes. But it was fine for this ramp, but it was cheap. He pressed the button. He felt the pressure as his body was pushed into the back of the seat as the car started to take off. He immediately shits his pants and blacks out. Kenny awakes in a hospital bed.
Hold on, in that order?
Kenny awakes in his... He shit himself so hard he lost consciousness. He awakes in a hospital bed.
We've all done it.
Ken Carter has stood there, angry, looking at him. He throws his hospital food at him. And then Kenny Powers has to relearn how to sit up in his own bed. The end.
Yay!
How was that?
I really love this new thing that we do.
Okay.
So that was the end of our, almost the end of our show. We got some admin to talk about, and then Greece is going to quiz me and quiz you and see if you can follow along and see how well you were paying attention.
So Jesse.
Yes, Reese.
What was Ken Carter's nickname?
We do admin first, remember?
No, we'll do the quiz first.
We'll do the quiz first?
Let's do the fun thing first.
Yeah, but that's why we put it at the end so that people listen to the admin.
Stop teasing them.
So we came up with this structure. No,
a while ago. Doing the quiz. So what was his nickname?
People are just going to skip the admin at the end.
What was his nickname?
What was his nickname? Whose nickname?
Ken Carter's nickname. Question one. What was Ken Carter's nickname?
Oh my God. What was it? Was it not? I don't want to just say the Canadian Daredevil. That's not right. Oh my God. I don't know.
The Mad Canadian.
Oh, I don't.
What was the name of the NFB film about him?
You know what? I wasn't paying attention.
The devil at your heels.
This is not a great... I've been saying you should quiz me, and I realize I haven't been paying attention that well.
What car did he die in?
Oh. Was it a 1978 Chevrolet?
No. Okay. 1982 Pontiac Firebird.
That wasn't even remotely close.
That was the worst quiz you've
ever
done.
It was horrible.
So, admin.
It was awful.
We're still moving things over. So, the website is still CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com. I do have the domain, CanadaIsBoring.com and .ca. I'm trying to work out how to redirect it. And you can email us, CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com. Go to patreon.com/CanadianPoliticsIsBoring, which I still need to change over. Or subscribe on Apple for our premium content. And
oh, are we reducing the price on Patreon as well?
Yeah, why not?
Sure, we're gonna try.
Whatever it is now is gonna be slightly less.
Yeah,
and also, we'll
just a match on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's gonna go down by.
So if you want extra bonus
tons
content,
of bonus episodes.
Tons of bonus content. It's I think $5 on Apple Podcasts and $5 on Patreon. And if you want to pay a little bit more on Patreon, you get to get bonus content and you get to chat with us where we will send you dick pics all the time. It's really fun.
Yeah, you'll love it.
Yeah. Just helicopter dick pics.
And then just, what are they called? Stories, Instagram stories of helicopter dicks.
Yeah.
Anyway, and the last thing I was going to say was if you don't have enough money to support us financially and you like the show and you got through it, please leave us a review.
Honestly, it helps.
That helps.
It really does.
You can do reviews on Spotify and you can do them on Apple and other things. Or if you don't have the ability to leave a review, just send us an email to let us know that you liked it.
Yeah, we got an email recently. Do you want to read it?
No, we've done enough now. We need to move on.
Okay, well, it's just when people take the time to write us, we should acknowledge it.
No, because I know which email you're talking about.
You don't want to talk about that?
No. Let's talk about it again.
Okay. Listen, everybody, thank you so much for listening all the way to the end of the show. I've been Jesse. This has been Reese. This is Canada Is Boring, our new show. I'm excited.
Our new old, same as the old show, but it's new.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we'll see you next time.
See you next time. See you next week.
And remember, if you do want to be a daredevil, just make sure that you work out your rocket mathematics properly.
Elon Musk should give it a shot. I feel like if anyone has a good chance at being a successful daredevil in his 60s, I'm assuming he's in his 60s. I don't know.
I don't know. He's like billionaires these days. They have weird treatments to make themselves look younger and stay young. So he's probably 80.
I mean, I get it, but he just looks like melted ice cream at this point. But it's, you know, I'll give it a, that's fine. You know?
Yeah. I mean, his brain has gone turned to melted ice cream. So that's. His face matches his outlook on life. Anyway, see you soon.
See you soon. Super day cool, they much too polite. A place that's exciting with kryptonite. You may fall asleep with no warning. Because Canada is boring, boring. Because Canada is boring, boring. Canada is boring, so boring. Canada is so fucking boring, boring, boring. A real cool podcast with Reese and Jesse.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.